PBS Network. We're also simulcasting at East Eddy Stargate on the YouTube channel. So check it out there, and we have feedback as well with usually the guest and myself and a couple others that it's really a fun chat. There's so much going on right now. A little heads up, we're just getting slammed with energy. A lot of people are walking sideways, getting a little dizzy, being a little disoriented. You know, you're not losing your mind, and it's just part of the process that's going on. A lot more to that. We'll probably cover some of that in the show today. My guest is Lauren Alexis Pritchard, and she embodies the soul experience from some of the most powerful light warriors in history. Her name means victorious helper of the people. She had an ambush awakening in October of 2016 and was initiated into the process of understanding this world shift in consciousness that's happening now. She is specifically guided to assist massive transformation in big industries like the monetary system, the way we care for health, and the regulation of AI as it gains sentience. This is humanity's karmic battle we face to ensure that we come together in unity, consciousness, for a golden age of Gaia. So with any further ado, Lauren, are you with us?
I am here, James. Thanks for having me.
Oh, welcome to the show. Glad we can get you on.
Contact has begun.
Oh, go ahead.
Contact has begun is my red pill for everybody. Okay.
Have you seen two yet? Have you seen Contact Has Begun too?
I've seen snippets of it. It's definitely on the list, high on the list to watch next.
Yeah, in all your spare time, huh?
Yeah.
I don't know if you're like me, you have no spare time. But
yeah, I kind of operate as avatar self these days. So it's an interesting life. And yeah, when the avatar puts me in that direction, now is probably going to the top. The very next thing I watch probably will have to be Contact Has Begun too.
Yeah, it's we have the uncontrolled narrative as well that covers why this information isn't getting out, but that's a book in itself. Have you dealt very much within the UFO community?
Yeah, I would say, you mean as far as like gathering research and definitely super involved with MILLABS, specifically abductees. Heavy into that stuff.
Yeah, I was curious. I know when you get into that field, just a little heads up, they eat their young, you know, and there's a lot of competition, you know, a lot of, you know, people with half-truths and misinformation and disinformation and you know, there's a lot of overactive imaginations as well. But, you know, it's kind of sad, but I think, you know, extreme discernment is the name of the game for that, you know, for that field,
right.
You know, and keep it on a higher note. I know you have a lot of different connections. I think you were talking about some Arcturian connections and some other things. I'm curious, what's some of the information you've been getting on those levels?
So when I was going through this initiative wave, it was like, there was like initial waves with like spirit guides I sort of knew, was comfortable with, and then, you know, some higher angelics. And then there was this galactic wave of awakening, which was all about meeting the galactic family, having some galactic connections. And it started out with these beings came into my room. And, you know, I put it that way, it's sort of like in that dream state in like theta. So I was woken up and then put into kind of like a theta. It's almost like their form of anesthesiology. Where you think you're awake, and then you're going through this whole thing, and then you wake up for real. So I think a lot of your viewers, and I'm sure you know, you're familiar with this sort of theta anesthesia. And they were healing a part of, it seemed like my back, my lung, and then up my spine into like the back of my head. It was like they were dragging a laser, like a vibratory laser, kind of around my body. And felt very healing, and all the while I was trying to look around, trying to find them, and all I could see were these like blue swishes of light. And so they came in three nights in a row, and I started, and I had heard about starseeds. So I was looking into like Pleiadians, Arcturians, and right away I was like, I felt a resonance with Arcturians. And
Yeah.
so, yeah, when I was going through the galactic wave, I wasn't surprised to, and I looked it up. It's a real thing, remote Arcturian healing. It's like a real form of therapy that few, but probably increasingly more numbers of people are using this sort of technology, this resource to heal themselves and heal others. And then, you know, just started interacting with them a little bit in dream space, but they're never in the same exact form because I guess in their real form, it's not physical like ours. So, but they're beautiful, beautiful beings.
I think they're sixth and seventh dimension. I know a lot of them, like
yeah.
you can talk to a Palladian that actually has come forward in time, you know, and then you can talk to a fifth dimensional Palladian, a sixth, seventh, and a seventh dimensional Palladians are the ones I've talked with quite a bit. But there seems to be that whole spectrum. When you say Palladians, you could be talking to a time traveler, you could be talking to,
right,
you know, a sixth or seventh dimensional being.
Yeah, I'm most intrigued by that time travel technology. It's incredible.
Yeah, I'm gonna go back in time and pick up a 25-year-old body and see what.
Hey, that might be a reality soon.
Well, you know, these technologies, I have people calling me, and I've seen some of these technologies. There's like magnetic light beds, and then there's these med beds and all these other things. And they're saying some
yeah.
of these things will reverse you back to whatever age you want. And it really makes sense. And especially, you know, if you really just think of a replicator technology, you know, you could actually, well, one works very interestingly because what it does, it taps into your etheric body, which is your whole and healthy, perfect self. You know, your DNA is perfect on that line. And it
uh-huh.
creates a communication right down to the physical and repatterns, you know, reprograms your
wow.
your DNA. And all that stuff's going to come out. And it's one of our plans
yeah.
here to bring it up.
Yeah. And it's kind of freaky as you're explaining it. I can almost picture it with like the, like creating the proteins and then, yeah, that'd be amazing.
Yeah, you think about DNA, basically it's just a code, you know, and it has a
yeah.
non-physical counterpart to it. Everybody just thinks it's physical. No, it has a non-physical counterpart, and you can tap
right.
into that and reprogram, you know, your DNA and probably take you back to whatever age you need.
Yeah, that would be incredible.
Yeah, it's never too late to have a happy childhood. You know, you can... I wouldn't go back that far, but
yeah. Well, if you get the right therapist, then you know you can make anyone's childhood seem happy.
Yeah, exactly. I know you do a lot of work like that. Have you noticed lately, just with these energy waves going through, that just I know right now we've got I believe Mars and Pluto are direct or something like that, plus these energy waves are coming through, you know, and you put that together, it's just like, it's like a formula for chaos. Like everybody's stuff is coming up. Have you noticed that in your work?
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone's definitely being pushed to clear their karma because we really need everybody to be kind of at, it's what I call zero point. I know that there's other forms of zero point in terms of like technology and devices, but I call like the zero point in your physical body when you're karma free. And yeah, the higher self is definitely pushing everybody to get rid of all their karma, like as quick as possible, I guess as physically possible. Could be pretty daunting, but yeah, it's definitely stirring up a lot of stuff and the things that people try to step over and work around and kind of like you kind of have to hit those milestones. Now is the time. We need everybody on board, everybody online.
Exactly. There's like a multidimensional crash course, you know, in self, you know. It's like,
mm-hmm.
you know, all things we tried to avoid and we tried to shove under the rug and ignore now are just like so energized that you just can't ignore it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy how, you know, we live in this intelligent design and you know, that's what I call this universe with, you know, when I had my awakening, I started noticing like a numerical phenomenon, how my eyes would go to like 11, 11, and then 44, 99, 55. And now I experience triple digits all day, every day. It's insane. But, you know, it really is a constant reminder that, hey, this is an intelligent design. And when you're tapped into it, you can really create this abundant, manifest abundance for yourself and really use it to your advantage. And I'm also, in the same sense, people aren't tapping into it. It's funny how things will rear their ugly head in very creative ways through this intelligent design that's like, hey, wake up. We need to figure this out.
Yeah, it's, I always think, you know, there was intelligent design, and then there was the hijacking. And yeah. And people, it's, a lot of people are still operating under the hijacking. And you know, I've seen it,
yeah.
You know, I'm really trying to stay out of politics, but I'm just seeing how the masses have been totally hijacked by the lamestream news and all the other nonsense going on out there. And you just ask them a blatant question, you know, and they can't answer it. And they've been so brainwashed. And I'm just going, my God, this is insane.
How
can you get that brainwashed and not have any critical thinking whatsoever?
Yeah. Well, I've come up with this whole like scientific process of finding out it's like this truthful and false resonance. It's a real thing. You know, people spend a lot of energy acting fake. If they spend a lot of their time absorbing fake information, it can even be a sitcom. I mean, as enjoyable and funny as they can be, that's a false reality. Fake food, it creates this sort of resonance where people will resonate towards fake information. And, you know, it's truly incredible because, you know, even people, I'm sure you can relate, like, I really respect and love, but still, I'm like, wow, you know?
Yeah, how did you get so lost? I mean, when I see it, you know, I said, well, how do you use the Socrates method or the other methods. There's all, Byron Katie has a lot of them. And, you know, you ask them questions, well, how do you know that's true? And they go, well, I heard it on CNN or whatever. And I go, well, do you have any personal experience with that? And they go, no. And do you know anybody that has personal experience with that? And they go, no. And I said, well, how do you know any of that is true? You know, where are you getting your information from? Are they reliable? You know, have they lied in the past? You know, have they?
Well, there's all these figures that are just like struggling to remain relevant. I mean, same thing like in the UFO community, like same thing with all these people on the media and politics. They're struggling to remain relevant because without that type of following, who are they?
Yeah. I love that saying, who are you without your story, you know? And if people would just get rid of their story, they'd figure things out, you know. But, you know, I've in my research, what I've seen is, you know, following this stuff down the rabbit hole, you follow this back down, and everything goes back to the global elite and their agenda.
Yeah.
And they're the ones financing everything, obviously. And they're using people as pawns to carry out their agenda. And the people that are being used as pawns actually believe they're fighting against the global elite when they're actually doing their bidding.
Yeah. Can you give an example of?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I like that's such a juicy topic. Is there anybody like you can give an example of for?
Of that? Well, a good example is like Soros. You know, Soros is funding 187 groups out there, and they're all like Antifa, Black Lives Matters. All those
guys. I'm familiar.
Yeah, and so they're creating adversity, you know, againstness and separation. And there are issues.
Yeah.
You know, there's problems that need to be addressed and dealt with. But, you know, these people think they're against the man. They're fighting against the man, right? And the man is actually paying them. You see, funding Black Lives Matter and Antifa and all these other things, and they're anti-fascist, anti-Nazi, but Soros is a Nazi. He's proud of being a Nazi. So, you know what I mean? It's all backwards. It's all backwards, but they use people's unhealed wounds and traumas against them, and misinformation against them, and people are falling for it, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's really sad, and I feel like one of the biggest missions that we have to fulfill is to like wake these people up, you know, as many as possible. It's not all of them.
Yeah, and go ahead.
Well, there's got to be this participation, though, on their end. Like, they have to be consciously participating in their own healing.
Yeah. And, you know, another thing is you see, you know, they're really pushing socialism, and they're really pushing, socialism and gun control, all these things. You know, if I had a government we could trust, I would love to get rid of my guns. If there was a government we could trust.
Right.
And socialism, you know, every tyrant in history, you know, was using socialism to get their way. And the first thing they did was take away people's guns so they couldn't. And then they killed billions of them. And people
yeah.
haven't looked at the history. And, you know, I don't even like delving into this energy or this kind of stuff. But it's gotten so bad. It's like the ET saying, you know, I saw this meme the other day. It was really funny. And the ETs were laughing with loving amusement, watching us work through our stuff down here. And then they said, holy shit, we got to get down there and do something. You know, I think that's where we're at right now.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I know. It's like, you don't even want to go there, but it's like, maybe that's like the thing is like, nobody wants to go there. It's such a, like a bad taste. But then there is this really weird paradoxical thing too of like, well, you're not going to change like anybody's mind. Cause like you'll argue with somebody, but then you're both going to come, you know, a normal person, or you're both going to come to this realization where you're like, damn, like this doesn't even matter. Right. So like, what does matter? Like, oh, like maybe the fact, you know, you haven't talked to this person that you have all this like unresolved karma with. And, you know, that's what's really going to start bringing up a truthful resonance, is being more truthful within ourselves and just getting rid of this whole political paradigm altogether. Cause I see a shift of, I don't know, perhaps some more localized government. I see like more of the star seeds and light workers doing some more humanitarian type work that will seemingly take the place of what would have been in the past, like politicians, you know, congressmen, whatever.
Yeah, council grandmothers or a galactic council or something like that. You know,
yeah.
Would be, you know, one of the base things I've seen, a lot of stuff all goes back to poverty, you know, the high crime, you know, even the race wars, all these things all go back to poverty and the controlling the wealth or the, you know, the finances or whatever, you know, throw them a bone,
yeah.
keep them stupid, keep them starved, you know, keep them hungry, keep them working, keep their nose to the grindstone, you know, don't give them a chance
yeah.
to wake up. And really look at what's going on. And what's weird is that the universe is totally abundant. Nature is so abundant. It's beyond imagination.
Yeah.
So why, you know, my question is why do we have poverty and who's behind it? And that's what we need to address. Forget about all the division going on, you know, the race wars, gender wars, all the other stuff. Those guys are feeling that. They want to keep us separate and fighting against each other. But let's go back to the core issue. You know, the core issue is poverty, lack, and things like that. And we think we don't have I know most people that are really self-sufficient, they don't get involved in all that stuff. You know, they're saying, well, I'm just focusing on my own life and taking care of my family and, you know, growing my own food and things like that. And they don't want to get involved in all that nonsense.
Yeah. I think it's like it goes along with the monetary system. Like politics will fade with the current monetary system.
Yeah, and it's going. I know all the countries right now are on the gold standard. That's already done, and there's this RV thing going on too. But that's temporary. That's just a temporary solution. Most advanced civilizations don't have a monetary system. And people are so programmed, they can't figure out how that would work. but you know they can't
Stop
understand.
shopping.
Hey, yeah, like a replicator. You know, if you have a replicator, you know, you don't need anything. You're done. You know, everything's there. If you put one kernel of corn in the ground, it's probably going to create a stalk. You know, with two ears on it. Each ear has about 500 kernels on it. So now you got 1,000-to-1 ratio in nature,
Isn't that
and people just,
amazing?
yeah, and people don't understand. They don't get it. You know, what if your car didn't need fuel anymore? You know, what if all your energy needs were being taken care of very simply? You know,
Yeah.
it's hard to break out of that program, and because people are enslaved through dependency, and the elite do not want this technology or this information out, which is why they're screwing with my mic right now.
Yeah, they definitely don't want these things on platforms where millions of people are going to hear it. And I think
No.
that's the biggest thing is like we have these things that we want, and then we have this design that we're living in. It's like we need to bridge this gap for people. I think in the ascension and the work that I do, it's like I feel like what I really am doing is bridging this gap in the minds of people between like what you really want and like how to get there. Like you don't want a monetary system. First of all, you don't want a monetary system. Nobody wants a monetary system. I don't care who you are, or not, just to the extent that we have. No humane human at their core wants this garbage, this enslavement. But we perpetually vote for it. We perpetuate our own enslavement just by shopping, just by consumerism, because it's a cycle that never ends. And then the dependency on other countries for their resources, when like they could do more and different things if they didn't have to work and perpetuate their own enslavement. And yeah, we gotta bridge this gap. And then it's like, holy smokes, like guys, food comes from the ground. Like we forgot this.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I saw a meme the other day. It was really funny. It said that he said, I don't know if I could be self-sufficient. He goes, I don't even know where to hunt tacos. He goes, I don't even know where they live. So
Oh my God, I saw that. That was a good one.
yeah, or something like that. I started laughing when I saw that one. That's where people
Yeah.
think everything just comes out of the store and out of the machine and
Right.
things like that. And right now we have sheep up here and things like that, and they're just popping out like crazy. We have goats and sheep, and
Aww.
yeah, and they're God, this one little black one was just born yesterday. Another one's just born today, and these guys are
Aww.
so cute. But they're you really think about the abundance of nature is just crazy. The way it's going, and you wouldn't lack for anything if you just get back to nature, get back to a simple natural way of living. But I mean, that's
Yeah.
even taboo, in the upper
Right.
echelon system. They don't want you to do that.
Well, and the funniest paradox of it all is like, okay, so first thought is we're going back in time, we're downgrading. But the biggest irony of it all is when we live like this and we do what we're good at and we're creative and our emotions are not chaotic and toxic and we have unity consciousness, then we get access to incredible technology. We get galactic access. We become a more galactic society. We have cures for things because there's nobody suppressing it. So if going back in time, if at all, it's only going to be temporary. And I'm sure like somebody out there who loves us will be around making tacos because that'll be something that somebody out there does best. So I'm saying if we
Yeah.
all do it, we do best.
Yeah, exactly. It's like what are you gonna, okay, so you get all this money, are you gonna sit on it? What are you gonna do with it? And
Yeah.
if you're conscious and you have an abundance, you'd automatically share that abundance,
Yeah.
and that's what I think is one of the, I know one of the first steps is the gold standard and then the RV, and that puts everybody on more of a level playing field. And then when you get rid of the poverty or the lack program, then
Yeah.
people are free to be creative. And I know a lot of people, yeah, would rather Like with me, I love growing things. I love, most of the stuff I grow in the gardens, I don't eat. Other people eat it. And I
Yeah.
love doing that. I really enjoy doing that. So it's like other people, a lot of people love doing mechanic work. Some people love doing this. And if people just got involved with what they really enjoy and what they love to do in service
Yeah.
mode, if they didn't have that, oh, I've got to make my house payment, I got to make my car payment, I got to do this, I got to work in this job I hate, and all this other stuff holding over their head, they would be free to be a lot more creative and to be of service to others and help others out.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I was a hairstylist for 10 years up until October, and I would be cutting some hair. And then I think about, with all this free time, people would probably pick up their instruments some more. They might sing some more. Like, how much more fun would we have, we can come together and just like hang out and share our talents and our gifts and our stories. And, when this, like, when we're not, suppressing our true selves, how much more we have in common with each other when we're not full of anxiety and we're not trying to hide our, whatever you might consider flaws. We have a lot more in common. We have a lot more fun when we are unity and consciousness.
Well, the old thing about, people don't go to war, governments go to war, and then the governments rely on the religions to pump people up, and it just goes on and on, and they keep doing the separation game, and they're still doing it right now in politics. The first thing people come out with is the race card, or the gender card or something, it's just like, I go, come on, let's have the unity card. Let's see somebody play the unity card and see
Yeah.
where that is.
Right. Well, I almost wonder if we're like dredging through some like toxic or we're like dredging through some mud right now with like I don't know, the some of these things. It's like, man, like where did they come from? And I don't know. It's like the unity consciousness is a thing, but then it's like you don't want to be so like naive. Like that's the thing with open borders, of course everybody wants this, but in the meantime, kind of have to take a look and can't be naive. You gotta at least for a little while longer be vigilant about other people's agendas, other parts of the world, other factions of their own interests.
Well, I when I look at the bottom line, when you have the child trafficking and the women being raped and they're being sponsored for all these marches and everything else by these other guys, the same guys that are sponsoring all the other nonsense that's going on. When you
Right.
just that alone has to end. It's not going to end as long as there's open borders. That's not going to end. And then you've got 90% of the heroin comes across that border, and they just got that fentanyl bust that could have killed, I don't know how many, 57 million, or I can't remember what it is, people in the
Wow.
United States that was coming in. And one group is keep saying there is no problem. There is no problem. We need open borders. We need to tear everything down. And that's the group that's actually being financed by Soros, the open borders groups.
Yeah,
But
right.
I would love to see one world united, and that respects all the different cultures, allows them, supports them to do their thing, but is united around universal law or the common good, of humanity and the earth. Something like that
Yeah.
would be great, but these other, we're not there yet. We have a
Right.
lot of cleanup to do, and I try to explain that people, that's very altruistic to have that belief and hold that belief, but right now, we have a lot of cleanup to do, and some of that cleanup is we need to be some, set some boundaries, and it has a lot to do with protecting people and things like that we need to pay attention to.
Yeah. And I think nature has a way of fixing itself. And this whole thing with the solar flash that's apparently coming. It's, I guess, the one thing that is in every religion, as David Wilcock shares with us through his works. It kind of makes me think, nature has a way of fixing itself. So the thing I see with like the ascension, it's like as we do the work and we work out our karma and our wounds and we come to to become happy and healthy and self-sufficient and sovereign within ourselves, our upgrade, our DNA gets upgraded. And then while these people are falling victim to this distraction, and then they're like falling deeper into the emotional wounding, and then the people who are administering these programs, I mean, they're certainly not upgrading their DNA. I think the solar flash is going to have some effect on people and where they're at, you know, within their spiritual DNA. I do think that there's going to be some event, because I think nature has a way of fixing itself. And I know that this is heavily prophesized. While humans are historically very bad at predicting things, I think there's something to the solar flash.
Yeah, I do too. I know, you know, people talk about the event, and they ask me, you know, give me a day on the event. And I tell people there's going to be a series of events. And we've been going through these events one after another. And some of these things have knocked our whole magnetosphere off the planet. It had to reset itself. And you see the energies that are hitting the Earth right now. Even the scientists, even NASA, start to admit, you know, that the cosmic rays and the higher rays are off the scale right now. And the Schumann resonance is all over the place. It's gone up to 1,000, maybe even more. I don't know, from 7.8 or whatever it is. But, you know, you look at that and you just go, how can you deny the fact that we're under extreme change? And you know, another thing, too, I was watching these global warming guys, and you just look at their energy, these big conferences they're having. These are all global elite boys. They're sock puppets for the global elite. Yeah. And I totally believe in climate change, but our whole solar system is moving into a highly energized place in space. We've never been before, you know, nothing in recorded history. And you know, they won't factor that in. They say it's all carbon, and we've got to get carbon credits, and we got to control everybody through carbon credits and everything else. And I said, well, you know, this is much bigger. You know, the CO2 levels have actually been higher in the past than they are now. And the oceans, you know, actually we're going into a mini ice age if they really look at the raw data, the real data versus the adjusted data. You know, it's hard for them to push global warming right now when you look at most of the planet and this polar vortex that's happening and everything else. I just said, when are people going to go, well, wait a second? You know, it's like I just went outside and my pants froze.
Yeah, it's probably people struggling to remain relevant, because what a red pill would it be if they said something about the movement of the solar system?
Yeah. It's the Russians are talking about it, and they're releasing all their information, and they've known about this for quite some time. And then the solar flash, they've talked about that. And then there's a discharge. I forgot what they call it. They call it a coronal discharge or some. It's not a CME, but it's something else that the sun does every once in a while. And all that information is out. I've been trying to nail it down, but you know, one thing I've been told over and over again is it's all about frequency and timelines and raising your frequency. And some timelines will be erased and they will go through these events, and some are going to move beyond it.
You mean timelines as in like agendas playing out?
Yeah. Yeah. Like it has a frequency. And when you raise your frequency and you drop all the old wounds and traumas and wrong conclusions from past experience, and you operate under universal law and, you know, focus on love and joy and bliss and the higher dimensional energies, eventually you're going to move out of this timeline. You'll be on a different timeline and you'll avoid much of the events, you know, that are scheduled, the cleanup, I might say.
Yeah. Yeah, because I do think it's going to be in a series. And I think if one major solar event happens, it could, I mean, really injure, or I mean, but I, you know, we just wonder how it's going to look. Like, I think it's going to heavily affect people in a negative way if they're not there yet, and then it could really push them to want to do the work as, you know, as quick as they can.
Yeah, I remember two stories. One, I was meditating and Babaji was telling me that. And he said, you know, this is going to hit people like a brick or a feather, you know, depending on their consciousness. Yeah. And then I was listening to this little Yeah, I was listening to this little old lady on a more physical event, and she was, it was kind of funny, but she goes, I have no problem sitting on a whole basement full of food with my Smith and Wesson to get through these times. She goes, I don't have any worries at all. You know, it's a little old grandmother, you know, and I thought about that. You know, she's totally prepared. She's not worried about anything. She's not in fear.
Yeah.
She's not, she'll probably cruise right through, you know, no
Yeah.
problems. But, you know, it's the whole thing is fear, and you gotta dump the fear, and but you can't be stupid either. You can't, you know, you can't live in denial either.
Right. Yeah, and then the love and unity and operating from the heart, which I don't know, I wonder about that because gosh, it's such a vulnerable thing for certain people, but I guess time will tell.
Well, you know, it's all. I have an old saying, being a Christ doesn't mean being a doormat, you know, and they've sold
Oh,
that doormat.
yeah.
The doormat program is there that, you know, to, and really it doesn't mean that. It means, you know, he pissed
Yeah.
everybody off, you know, if you, whether you believe him or not, you know, but everywhere he went, he pissed everybody off because he called them out on their crap, you
Right.
know, and he was a
Hey, truth
divine
is
leader.
kindness.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, truth is kindness. I mean, I always joke of like that word nice. Like, oh, she's nice. I'm like, I am not nice. I was like, I am kind spirited, but I am not that nice.
Yeah.
Like in that sense of like, oh, she's so nice. Like,
Yeah.
well.
I like the old saying, trust is earned, you know. And, you know, as a Confucius saying, you know, when somebody says trust, 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 it's time to count your spoons, 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 you know. And, you know, I look at character. I don't care what, if somebody's, you know, black, white, purple, green, red, you know, it doesn't matter to me what their culture is. It's all about character, you know, and you know, what's your character and where's your come from, basically. And that's where we need to get back to.
Yeah, and also I think forgiveness is huge too. I mean, like going back to like that Christ consciousness, like, and also like forgiving yourself. I mean, we're literally like, I hate that saying, oh, people don't change. I'm like, what? We're on planet Earth. Like, we're literally here to change. So
Yeah.
in this process of like self-love and self-healing, like, man, if you weren't always like the greatest person, and like some people know some stuff about you that like you wish they didn't, or and you're different now, like that's cool, like that's good, like we're here to change. So, you know, how I see it is like, yeah, like forgiveness is huge, it's key, and
Yeah.
so we can let go of judgment for that. I mean, we're like in Earth school, so we came here to change,
Yeah.
and I would say like it's like, oh, judging people, but not by like saying who you are, but like what you do will say enough.
Yeah. They say a man or woman's character is established by their actions, and that's what I always tell people, forget about what they're saying, watch what they're doing. You know, watch how they treat the
Right.
people around them, and that'll tell you exactly who they are. You know, I've seen that over and over, the double speak going on, and then it's funny in politics now, everybody's doing this double speak and then they get busted for or they go
Yeah.
attack somebody else and they forgot about their own closet, you know. And you know, the
Oh,
ultimate, I always tell
seriously.
people, yeah, forgiveness is the ultimate weapon. You shouldn't use it this way, but when you actually really do forgive somebody, it frees you up and that energy goes back to them and then they have to deal with it. And they're going to magnetize an event or a person to them to give them that lesson. And so,
Yeah.
well, if I forgive, I'll get hurt again. And I said, no, you gain the wisdom from the experience. It settles in the soul. You
Yeah.
forgive, you release it, you let it go. It's out of your field now. That's going to raise your frequency, and you're free to move on and have a better experience.
Yeah. And it really does generate for them to then do the work. I mean, I've literally witnessed this in my life many times when you like setting an intention. Like you can say you're going to do X, Y, and Z, but when you set the intention, like you're really truly like going to do it. Same thing with forgiveness. You can say you forgive, but you have to energetically forgive. And then holy smokes, when you do, people change. It's incredible.
Yeah, it has to be on a soul level and it has to be complete. And I know too, a lot of times people don't really realize the other dynamics going on because there's past lives involved and there's all these other variables happening. And when you gain the wisdom from why that happened, it's a lot easier to forgive. It's like the two guys on the other side and they're talking. They go, yeah, remember when I hacked your head off in that lifetime? And they go, yeah, remember I put that spear thing in? And they're up there talking, you know, and everything's good. And they're going, yeah, let's try to do something better next time around, you know. It's kind of, you have to look at it from another level because it's never what you think it is. It's never as it seems.
Oh, yeah. Right. And through, like, my initiation, going through the whole thing and then having this confidence of, like, okay, like, I'm ascended a master. I'm here to do these things. I also started to have people come into my life who I was simultaneously recalling past lives. And it's funny because, like, in history, like, you see the story, like, you know how the story goes. And it's just really funny to see how these things play out. Like, even though you know what you're supposed to do, you see the temptation is still there to do the same thing. And then ultimately, you know, doing the right thing and then clearing that karma. But now it's such an incredible time to be here experiencing this ascension because you get to laugh about it. You're like, holy crap, this is crazy. Like, this is so fun.
Yeah, people have a funny, you know, there's people I meet sometimes and I'll say something to them. I'll say, you know what? They'll be talking about some person that was here. I was involved with or involved with the ranch. And I'll tell them, I said, I don't want to have anything to do with them. And they go, what? And I go, no, there's something there that's trying to be worked out. It's detrimental to the ranch and me. I can feel it. And they go, oh, you're crazy. You know, you don't know what you're talking about. And I said, no, this person doesn't want to heal. It doesn't want to change. I really, my spidey senses are saying, do not engage. Don't go there. And sure enough, every time, like about within a year or so that it happens, it comes out, you know, they want to work it out. And I just go, I'm just sitting here, you know, I'm not going to play this one, you know, have fun with that. But sometimes that love of self means setting those boundaries, you know, just saying no, and honoring those spidey senses inside of you that are saying, don't go there. Or even at the time calling it out and saying, hey, look, there's something that needs to get worked out. I'm going to clear it within myself, but I just don't think this is a good idea for us to engage, until this gets worked out. Yeah.
Right. And then still, like, in my experience with that kind of stuff, it's so funny because it's almost like I put on these, like, spiritual blinders of, you know, I'm so well aware, I'm so in tune, so empathetic and in touch. And then something will happen, and I'll be like, oh, my God, like, in retrospect, the flags were there. How did I not see them? And things look a lot different. And then at the same time, like, oh, I guess I wasn't meant to see them. Because I was meant to do X, Y, and Z. I wouldn't have done that if I'd seen that.
Yeah, crazy. I agree. And sometimes your mind talks you out of it. You know, you go, I shouldn't think that way. I shouldn't feel that way. And you shoot all over yourself. And then you realize later on. Yeah, you realize later on, I go, God, why didn't I listen to that first hit? You know, that first hit that I got that just said, do not engage or don't go there.
Yeah. Man, it's getting wild. And I even know, like, this with this consciousness community with these conferences. I mean, when you were talking earlier about, you know, the walk and the walk, but doing the, like, talking the talk, but not walking the walk, I'm finding that that's becoming increasingly more apparent. Like, you know, I mean, say it's like kind of like politics, like in the consciousness community. It's like, who's walking or who's talking the talk, but not walking the walk? It's starting to become even. But beyond that, you know, anybody can see, look what they do, not what they say. But this veil is thinning, and it's getting to be where you see through these things so quickly. And watching them play out is really interesting.
Yeah, I've noticed that, too. It's like everything that was pushed under the rug is so blatantly obvious. And, you know, the things people have tried to ignore. And a lot of people out there, you know, saying all the right thing and doing, I call it Facebook spirituality, you know, and they haven't dealt with their own stuff, you know, they have all the right words and everything else, but they haven't really claimed their own stuff. And then, there's also a lot of light workers that have been out working on everybody else, and they've got to stop and back up and take some time to themselves and work on their own healing, you know, as well. Yeah. If they don't, it's going to come out, and it's going to be really ugly, because you can't suppress that.
Inconvenient. But I love what you're doing, because I like your vibe and your I don't know what to call it, but with this whole thing going on, I appreciate the culture that you're cultivating, because I feel like this is something that is just like for the highest and best good, like the highest timeline. Like, it's not about I don't know. I like that you're creating something new here, and that kind of energy is not really assimilating into it as easily, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does. I mean, everything we do here is to empower the individual, you know, and teach them to be authentic, you know, be true to themselves, be authentic. And you know, it's like, there's no guru here. We won't allow that to happen. You know, it's all about, you know, we're going to give you tools and techniques and understandings to better know yourself, educate yourself, and you practice, you know, self-mastery tools and things like that. And that's our whole main focus. And unfortunately, that does kind of piss off the people that do have huge followings that want to be, you know, in those roles.
So in reading your bio, I saw that you had an interest in Bigfoot, and you've been doing some research. Have you had any of your own personal experiences?
Well, I have not, but my brother and his friends swear that they saw Bigfoot as teenagers, and, you know, I just laughed, thought it was funny. But we do have, I mean, I'm from the Adirondack, like, the capital region of New York, but also spending a lot of time in the southern tip of the Adirondacks in New York. Whitehall has some documented, like, footprints and noises, and there is a Bigfoot society here. So, I always loved, and then when I found out he was Bigfoot's, like, extraterrestrial, they have all these, like, mystical powers, I was like, oh my God. And I don't think they've ever been recorded to have harmed anybody. I don't think there's any recorded incidences where Bigfoot has harmed anyone. So,
yeah, they're definitely, the ones here are extremely very spiritual, and they seem to be able to shapeshift or disappear, and a lot of people have seen them. They see a ball of light flying, you know, going through the forest, and all of a sudden they follow it, and then there's a Bigfoot, you know, standing there. So,
wow,
you know, they definitely, we've had so many sightings here, and people that have had encounters with Bigfoot, their whole life just gets turned around. I mean, the energy exchange that happened with them, it was totally life-changing for them. So I definitely, you know, I've had my own sightings. I lost count on how many, and I saw, it's like the Patterson film. I saw a female like 50 feet away, and she stood up and looked at me. So, you know, I have no doubt that they're real. I never felt threatened at all. You know,
that's good.
I think it's our own fear we have to overcome. It's not,
right,
not that they're a threat, but if you go there with a lot of fear, and if you go there as a threat, you know, or armed or something like that, you know, they may respond, you know, in the same way to move you out of their space.
Well, I would say that about, like, animals too, but then I'm like, wait, they're not really animals. They're interdimensionals, extraterrestrial. We don't know, right? Or probably both, you know? It's like, why labels and boxes, I'm like getting kind of frustrated with. So I'm like, you know, it's probably some that are, some that aren't. I was messaging with the Bigfoot Society here, like, because I wanted to, you know, maybe produce some content with them, or, like, get together. But they did not hold the same belief that they're extraterrestrial Bigfoots. And I'm like, but that's, like, the most fascinating part.
I know. Well, you know, the funny part is, okay, they're doing all this research up here, and this is one of the, this is Bigfoot country, basically, Skamania County. There's more sightings there than anywhere, it seems. And so they've been doing all this research, and the, these people come up and they're scientists, you know, and they have degrees and everything else. And they come up and they bring all their equipment and they put out the apples and the cucumbers and everything else. And every time Bigfoot gets it, he gets the apples, he gets the cucumbers, and they have nothing. You know, they have zero.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's hilarious. And I told him, I said, well, if this is just a big dumb ape, like you're trying to say it is, how come it's outsmarted you every time with all of your intellect
right.
and your gear and your technology? You know, he's the hide and seek champion. You know, it's
yeah.
like you have nothing. So why is that? Do you think maybe your approach might be incorrect? You know, that.
Right.
And they might get a picture here and there or something with all their technology, but. They might get lucky, but they're never really going to have, you know, a face-to-face
yeah.
or a contact, or they're not going to have a telepathic connection or anything like that because of what they're projecting into the experience.
Exactly. I can so see that. And my favorite story ever about Bigfoot is there was a woman that was on George Norrie's Beyond Belief talking about a family of Bigfoot that is living on her property, I think in Arkansas. And she was saying how they set up cameras and they would like dematerialize, or at least, you know, they would assume that these flashes that would go across the yard were like the Bigfoots dematerializing into spirit form. She said they would terrorize them in the house, like they would mess around with them. They would like mimic each other's voices. So like she would hear her son calling her like, "Mom, Mom," and she'd turn around or you go find him, you wouldn't be there. So she says, yeah, they're like kind of these like pesky bastards. And it's just so funny, you know, she's made novels out of these experiences. But the funniest part of this thing is she's like trying to move. She's not happy about it. Like she's like, these,
yeah.
they're pesky. And she's really not happy about it. They want to move. And so George Norrie goes, well, like, or no, not him. Actually, they were taking callers. Somebody called in and he was like, why don't you just sell your house? You know, this guy thinking he's like some like hotshot, like asking a funny question. She's like, I don't know, Dan, you want to buy it? Like, you want to buy my house?
Yeah.
Like, nobody wants. I think in that state, like, you have, it's like one of those states where, you know, if the home is haunted, like, you kind of have to tell people. If your property is occupied by Bigfoot, like, you kind of have to tell them.
You know, what happened is if you had somebody that was conscious and that really wanted to connect with them, whatever, they should get her house and then make friends with them, put out food out for them and things like that, and just,
yeah.
you know.
Well, I would hope since
research.
Then somebody has. Yeah, I would hope since then somebody has bought it because, you know, help her
yeah.
out and then, yeah, help some research aspects out. But I think at the time it was still like, you know, they weren't, you know, not trying to get into this kind of information because, God forbid, they actually find some truth and proof and evidence on, you know, super spacey topics like this. But I think now things are changing. But back then, you know.
Yeah, definitely. We had hair and we had the hair analyzed. And it was three and a half feet long, some of the hair. And it was
wow.
perfectly hollow. And it was silicon-based and it had other minerals in it. And we had a forensic specialist look at it and a fiber specialist. And they said, we have no idea what this is. It looks
wow.
like it was grown. And they said, there's nothing on the earth like it. We can't duplicate
yeah.
it. And,
yeah.
And so... And I have a theory. I have a theory that there's an android Bigfoot that the ETs use, or it's, you know, it might even be a Bigfoot. There seems to be a being associated with the UFOs that looks more human. It's more of a human
mm-hmm.
type Bigfoot. And then
yeah.
there's some of the really ancient Bigfoot that some might be a little more primitive than others, but it's not just one category. It seems to be fitting
yeah.
into several categories. And that's, you know, in my research, but this hair actually fell from a very high place and because
mm-hmm.
the impact on it, it had a crease across it. And they're figuring out that the strength it was either hit by a really fast moving car or it fell from a very high place, you know, to have that big of an impact on it.
That's super fascinating to me about, like, you analyzing that hair because, I mean, in terms of, like, things coming from other planets that aren't on our elemental tables, did I say that right? Our table of elements.
Yeah.
I'm finding out, so I'm in contact with a few different people that are into, like, the researching of different diseases, like Lyme's disease, and different sources, they don't know each other, but they're both saying that this virus has something in it that is not of Earth origin, and that's why it's so difficult to cure Lyme's. It's because it's covered with something that isn't on our periodic table. And so it's just super fascinating. You're saying that about the hair. And then I'm thinking, you know, as we move into becoming a more galactic society, you know, these are the kind of things that we have to look forward to, like getting into some more different elements and curing Lyme's and finding out more about, you know, all this stuff and Bigfoot, their origins. I mean, I'm really looking forward to it because Lyme's is a horrible epidemic. And
some flu bug from Uranus or Venus or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, then we got to start looking at things like that. Hey, we're out of time, unfortunately, but it's been awesome. I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. And really quick,
thank
again,
you for
what's
having
the best
me.
Way that, yeah, what's the best way people can get in touch with you?
They can check out my website, newearthconsulting.squarespace.com. And my email is laurenpritchardascension@gmail.com.
Awesome. And I can't wait to see you when you get up here to the 4th of July conference. I think we're going to have a great time. Hopefully you'll get to see Bigfoot as well.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. You know, I went to Contact in the Desert last year, and it was my first event, and I saw you. You'd walk by with your entourage, and I was like, oh, my God, there he is. You know, but before, I couldn't have predicted the amount of involvement I now have in the community. So it's just so funny, you know, if I can go back to that version of myself and be like, just wait, in a year, you're going to be at the ranch. You're going to be on a show. It's going to be crazy. So I'm super stoked.
Great. Awesome. Well, again, thanks so much for coming on the show. We'll stay in touch. And this is James Gunn with As You Wish Talk Radio signing off. Have a great evening. Good night.